I'm going to read a passage and talk about it a little bit. Sounds like church, doesn't it? And then we'll get into another passage and get into a message, but there'll be some opening things to say here. And I'm really happy to be here today. I believe that the Lord has a word for us, and I want to lock on to that. How many of you know these are days that we need to rise up? We've been in a little series called Rise to the Challenge. Is that right? So this is Colossians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the Colossians, and then we're going to go over to, a little after that, 1 Timothy. And so this is his writing, both of these passages. Starting with verse 9, it says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." So he's basically telling them, exhorting them, man, you guys have been really, really cooking, following Jesus, being a blessing. And so we keep praying for you and asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. How many of you need a little more of that? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that, and I tell you what, let me read one and go through these little things here and see if you are in agreement with them. And so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Anybody into that? That one's good enough. I'm not into complacent church. Yeah, I want to walk worthy of the Lord a little bit. Yeah. Well, whatever you say. Anybody want to walk worthy of the Lord in there? Okay, go ahead and tell your soul. Now, this next one is a scary one. Fully pleasing. Fully pleasing. Fully pleasing to Him. Anybody want to be fully pleasing? Fully pleasing. Fully, not a little partially pleasing. No, hit and miss pleasing. I'm talking everything you do, say, live, everything it is fully pleasing to God. These are the days where that needs to be happening right now. Fully pleasing. Get rid of that other stuff. Get rid of the other stuff. Be fully pleasing. Man, I just way ahead in my message. You ever seen those movies where they jump way in advance? My spirit went, choo! I got to come back. That's how it felt just then. Fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. To have somebody say, every good work. In other words, when you touch it, it should be better off than it was because you got involved. Increasing in the knowledge of God, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Now, that's a combination of stuff right there that's just Holy Spirit stuff all together, because my flesh has tried it on its own and it can't pull that off. Endurance and patience with joy. Come on. Anybody? You need the strength of His power to do that, right? His power. It's got to be in Him, right? There's none of that's going to be happening on your own. I'm going to try it on my own. You run out of gas so fast. How many of you know your old nature is pretty much supposed to be dead and forgotten? Huh? We talked about that last week. The jalopy, take it to the junkyard. You got a Lamborghini in the spirit. You got Jesus' new character. Runs on grace, runs on grace, runs on grace, right? So this joy. There's so many depressed people. Would you show up happy in the spirit? It changes the atmosphere. And they go, I want to be like that. I don't want to. What's going on here? There's so many people that are down today that you just have a little taste of this and it shifts everything. You're light in the darkness. You're light in the darkness. It says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Let's all say this next one. This is on the back there. Ready? Let's say it together. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Just shout it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been taken out of. Does anybody here have just got one little happy moment inside of you? How many of you know what it was like to be bound in darkness and you couldn't get out on your own? And somebody showed up and shared something with you and the lights went on. And you're going, I can get out of this? And then the pathway, the doorway out is really literally forgiveness. Oh my gosh. Boy, have I learned that well. I'm really good at getting forgiven and forgiving others. If there's a lifelong victory path, that's the one. Jesus has given us that. Now I want to get into this next little section here because it can be like, huh? He is the image of the invisible God. In other words, if you want to see who God Almighty is, take a picture of Jesus and look at Him really, really good. And all your preconceived ideas of thinking God's like Zeus or some Santa Claus or some weird judge with lightning bolts, all that stuff. No, 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 no. Jesus. Jesus. Lay your life down. Jesus is the image of the Father God. That's who He is. He doesn't cut people's heads off. He had Himself sacrificed for you. That's the difference, you know. He's not the same as the other guy at all. He laid His life down. You get a picture of Him. It's not the same. It's completely different. He's the one that motivates the building of hospitals for hurting people. Spread all over the world. Orphans are loved because Jesus Christ gave Himself, modeled the image of God the Father and adopts up people and sends people to be daddies and mommies for people who don't have them. That's our God. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. This is a comprehensive thing, a comprehensive reconciliation thing. Peace by the blood of His cross. I was in Fort Mill, South Carolina, way about over 15 years ago, and there was a pastor's conference there in Foursquare and all. And this guy was checking us out, and he came to my door. He knocks on the door and tells me, he says, I need you to pray for me. I need to be delivered. And I said, you know, okay, what's up? He says, well, I took LSD one time, and I got this, I want to get rid of whatever this is that came into my life. And he says, I have a deep fear that came in through watching the Exorcist movie. I said, okay, those are two pretty big doors to open up. And so I led him in prayer about how to ask God to forgive him for opening these doors. I led him in the prayer for that. And then we begin to renounce and take authority over this stuff and command it to leave his life. And he was going through these motions of, you know, we were stuck. We were stuck. And, you know, you read this stuff in here and it says, Jesus has made, whether it's visible or invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all these things are created by Him. And you don't know what it really means, really. And I don't know what it really means until I'm in a moment like that. And then the Lord speaks to me. And I'm going, and the Lord says, I'm thinking to myself, we've taken authority. Why isn't it leaving this man? And the Lord says, bind the strong man of Charlotte. Okay, now I got to process that. Okay, there's another one who's not inside, but he's outside. And he's in the principality realm, and he's doing war to hold this one in there. And so this guy's not getting free because he's got some kind of a backup. Are you there? And so I'm going, oh, wow, okay, that's interesting. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you, you strong man of Charlotte. And the guy got free just like that. He said, whoop, jumped right out of him. Wow. The guy, whoever was pushing down, was all bound up. I'm going to just go ahead and say, Jesus will build a church, but He gave us these keys. He gave us these keys, and there's the keys of the kingdom. And if you bind it, you can lock it up. And if you want to loose it, you can loose it up. I think that's this one. The 1-2 punch here. Wow, that would feel like a magic trick. How did that happen? Look at that. Can you believe that? I don't even know how that did that. I feel like not doing a trick with you. Just, my goodness, I'll just figure that later. For your sheer entertainment purposes right there. Keys of the kingdom. I felt the Lord wanted me to put that in there somewhere. So, now let's go on to the next verse, 21. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind. Now you look back at them and tell you, that's you right there. alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. That's all of us. And he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. And I made this highlighted here. If indeed you continue. Tell somebody next to you, if indeed you continue. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. If indeed you continue. If indeed you want to be presented holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you can. There's a contingency. You got to continue in the faith and be stable and steadfast and not cast away this hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Have you ever been tempted to not continue? And then you don't get presented holy and blameless and above reproach. You don't get that. Just because it's offered doesn't mean you walk into it. There are a lot of folks today. They're living their American dream life. They got a little Christianity on the side. And this is not for them. There's going to come a moment. Stand before the Lord with a big bag of excuses. Big boatload of why I couldn't do this and why I couldn't do that. But how I could sow to my flesh and do all these other things. But I could never follow Jesus. These are dangerous places to walk. If indeed you continue. Everybody say, if indeed you continue. How many of you want to rise up and be more than you were before? I really get like excited on the inside. I'm changing. I'm going through changes myself. These are different days, and I guess the Lord's just saying, these are different days. And I'm requiring something more of you than I did before. Is anybody in on desiring to go further than you have before? Okay, lock it down. You're going to become more than what you've been before. There may be a little stress and strain involved. You may have to pursue the Lord a little bit more than you did. Let's go ahead and say, some of you, it's a whole lot more. Some of you, it's a radical change in how you're living. Complete change in how you're living. Some of it's a complete thing. Some of it's there's fundamental adjustments I need to make. We'll get into that with the next point. Let's go ahead. I didn't tell you to get this. This patch is another one's kind of long here, and I'm not going to do the fill in the blank yet. I'll get that to the end there when I feel good about it. This is 1 Timothy 1, starting with verse 20. Now, this is, Paul tells us kind of his internal testimony. He's going to tell his testimony here somewhat. He's not telling the testimony that he told in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, he recounts how Jesus, why are you persecuting me and all that. And then he tells that a couple of times later in the Bible, like Acts 22, he's standing before Felix. Let me just pause here. He's telling one guy, I think it's Felix. He's telling him, they bring him in. Felix brings his wife, Drusilla. Sounds like a Disney name, doesn't it? And he wants to talk to him, and Paul's preaching to them. He's talking to them. And you'd think he'd say, receive Jesus and you'll be saved. Right? You know what he's telling? He's talking to him about righteousness and self-control and the judgment. This is Paul preaching the gospel, trying to get this official saved, because he knows a lot about it, but he's not committed yet. And he backs up and says, we'll listen to more later. Wow. We'll listen to more later. So Paul's telling the story. And now he's writing to Timothy. And he's telling his internal testimony. He says this. He says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. Everybody say, formerly I was. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. I'm the foremost. Other versions say I'm the chief of sinners. Then he says, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this I charge to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may not learn not to blaspheme. Now he's going to look. I think there's a lot of confusion today sometimes where somebody goes, see, here's Paul's testimony. Formerly I was this. That's what I was. That's what I used to be. Presently I'm this. I used to be this. But now I'm this. How many of you the formerly and the presently get confused? You get confused with the formerly and you think, because I still struggle? But the Lord Jesus says, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things, Paul says, old things passed away. All things become new. And we talk about that whole process of walking through and coming out of and into. He says, you've taken you out of the domain of darkness, put you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. I think it's time that if you're from a family, that everybody, there's different people we're ministering to, that everybody is from certain backgrounds. Let's say addictions. You can fill in the blank. What Jesus has given us is the power to that's be our formerly and not our present. That's what Jesus has done. I don't know all of Paul's background, but he was formerly a persecutor. He was formerly a blasphemer. He was formerly an insolent opponent of the gospel. But God did a radical work on the inside of him and changed him. And he received mercy. Everybody say mercy. And mercy is always tied to the misery of the consequences of your sin. He wasn't a happy man being bound in his judgmental, pharisaical attitudes. He wasn't a happy guy. There was no joy that he could talk about later. Endurance and patience with joy. That's all new. That's all in Christ Jesus. In my heart, I have a desire that there come the power of the gospel. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God for salvation of those who believe. It's a power. There's a power in it. There was generational rejection in my past. My wife's grandfather was an alcoholic found face down in the gutter. Her dad's dad. But she rose up. And out of her family, she was a formerly was. And she broke through all that. And maybe I think she's the only one. Can I have somebody in here at least be the only one? If there's going to be one, let it be you and come out of the formerly was and get out of the generational poverty, the generational addiction that God has given you the power to do it. And you can come out of it. I get a little worked up here. And you can go ahead and argue with Jesus about it. And you can come up with your bags of excuses. The first fill in the blank. What are you becoming? What are you becoming? What are you becoming? Because what you become shines the light for somebody else. What you become becomes hope for somebody else. I love that verse that says, the grace of God overflowed faith and love that you're in Christ Jesus. The grace of God overflows. It's an empowering work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And it overflows and it gives you a faith you didn't have and love that you didn't have. And the dynamic of those two things are incredible. Because faith works through love. When grace pours the love into you, you got that attitude, my daddy can do anything. And faith rises up. And you start believing what he says about you more than what your past says about you. Some of you, just today, you need to say, I formerly was. I'm not defined by what I formerly was. I'm not defined. Jesus doesn't define me anymore by what I formerly was. My formerly was is not the definition of who I am. I presently am who Jesus says I am. The dynamic of that is so incredible. Hallelujah. Just chewing on that one thing causes you to become what you could never be before. And it's so easy to say, it's too hard. You don't understand what the devil has done to me. You don't understand the desires of my flesh. I stand as a broken human who's been restored. I understand desires of flesh. You can't fool me on that one. Because I formerly was, but I am no longer. And the testimony is that what I used to be, I am no longer. That's the power of God in the gospel. You don't have to be anymore what you were before. And when Paul became what he was in Christ, then he laid hands on a young man. And he prophesied over him. And that young man could wage warfare according to what was imparted prophetically, wage the warfare and stand against the things that would tear him apart. You got to become somebody that can lay hands on somebody else. And because now what you're becoming is an example of how the patience of Jesus is being worked out in you. Isn't that what it says? I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in eternal life. Somebody looks at you and going, you know, I know what you used to be. How come you're not like that anymore? You want to really hear? Because I came from a family of broken people, and I'm not one of them anymore. And it's not me that did it. I was involved. My will was involved. I was told I'd never be any. I was told when the beating was going on. I was told when all that stuff, that it wouldn't happen for me. But I decided I wasn't going to believe that anymore. And I learned the pathway of the Lord. And I began to forgive. And I began to rise up. And I began to strengthen my will. And I said, I'm not going to be a carpet. I'm not going to be a foot place for the devil to walk on anymore and believe all of his lies anymore. Is that right? I guess we should go to point two. Number two, what are you looking at? I want you to think in terms of when you're dealing with what it takes to continue. For you to continue in the faith during these days, these three questions that I'm giving you today are something you need to ponder and think about. Not just something to put on a piece of paper and forget about. Think in terms about what you're becoming. Because the Lord has very high aspirations for you, much higher. When I look around, I get these little prophetic inklings. Some of you, the Lord says, I want you to rise to this place because it's going to have a wonderful effect in the rest of your family. And you've been, Lord says, rise up. Rise up to the place that I'm calling you. Yeah, but no more yeah buts. Just go ahead and tell the person next to you, no more yeah buts. No more yeah, but, no more excuses. Become what God's calling you to be. Is anybody receiving this? Is everybody or just a few? Is this one of those where you, is it, the more I talk, the less people show up? Is this one of those space maker type message? Or do you think you want to become something more in Christ Jesus? If just go ahead and tell the Lord that right now. Just go ahead and tell Him, I want to become more in you. I want to become more in you. What you had planned before I was born, what was in your mind toward me, I want to walk into that. Some have had the devil pushing you around. Just go ahead and push him back. Get the fight on. So you're not holding me back anymore. I'm not going to play dumb on this. I'm not backing off. I don't know who it is, but I have a word for you. If you put the effort into the Lord, you put in other things, you would already be so far. You would be so far. You'd be stellar at this point. Receive that from Him. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Drop in these seeds, Lord. Drop in. Do surgery where necessary. Cause there to come a rising up, a stripping away of things that help people back today. There's that crazy, I don't even know if it's real or not, but they always talk about it. There's this thing that says that they put these fleas inside of this jar, and they put a top on it, and the fleas would jump up and hit the top of the jar. And then you take off the top of the jar, and they won't jump out. And it says even the next generation won't jump out. That they have baby fleas, and they'll just stay, they won't jump out. Because there's limits. Psychologically, there's limits. And the Lord has removed the jar lid on your life. It doesn't exist anymore. And there's things that have been self-limitations. The Lord says, I'm taking them off. They don't belong to you anymore. You're the one in your family that's going to come out and go way beyond what everybody did. You're the one that's going to stand there. There's some people in here, you're the reason everybody in your family is saved. God's breaking through. Those little moments. This is kind of a heart-to-heart talk time. The little moments that you said yes to the Lord and it was so painful to you and you had to die to yourself and commiserate and go through the misery of that and let go and let go, and then finally peace comes. And then the things that used to matter don't matter anymore, and the love is there now. There's a change that God's doing in His people in the earth right now. And the old ways are not working. They're just not working. Your limitation on who you could touch and reach for Christ, that's all blown away. Lord says, I want to pour love, my love through you like a river and cause you to have effect in places you never thought you could before. And your flesh ain't up for it, because your flesh goes to the cross and it dies. Is that right? None of this is in my notes. Hallelujah. I feel very passionate about these things. I'm so, just like in worship, I want to be committed to the touch of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit begins to move and do things, I want to back up and let Him go ahead and do the things He wants to do, because He's promoting life. He's promoting wholeness. He's promoting change. He's promoting... Jesus says stuff, and we act like it's a suggestion. We act like we could take it or leave it. That ain't working out for you. Now, let's go ahead and look what you're looking at. Let's go ahead. I want to just touch on this. The Pharisees and the disciples, I think I'll just jump down, hurry with it, starting with verse 22. The days are coming, Jesus is telling His disciples, when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here, look there. Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so the Son of Man be on His day. In other words, I'm coming like that. But he says, but first he must, he's talking to us about himself, first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And then he lays it out, just as in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. There will be eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. He's making he's saying, it's going to be like that, where just in those days there was this lawlessness. Are you there? Is it hello? And then he goes in the next one. He goes, and just like in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So he's got Noah, got Lot. On that day, let no one who is on the housetop with his goods in his house come down and take them away. And likewise, let no one who is in the field not turn back. And then he says, how many of you remember the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept? This next one is verse 32 is the second shortest. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And this is the warning to you, and this is the warning to me. Because she had something going on in the world. World, 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 world. And God has something in escape from the world. Escape, 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 escape. Escape, escape, escape. And Lot and his kids take off. And they're following the Lord. And they're escaping the world. They're escaping the world. But the world is in her heart. And what happens? She turns and looks back. There are certain things that the Lord has already said. The reason you feel so stuck is because you've looked back. But the Lord's going to reverse the curse on you. Instead of it being stuck like her, he says, you can turn around and I will redeem you. You can come out of that. It's not time to play patty cake with the world. It's time to leave that. And I'm not talking about beneficial things. I'm talking about things of the flesh. I'm talking about things that entrap you. Things that lay hold of you. Are you there? Because she turned around and she turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus wants you to know today not to be like her. Today. I was talking to Myrene Morris years ago. She was a leader in the Cleansing Stream Ministry. And she was one of these people that knew how to deal with herself and her flesh. And she would say, I just grabbed myself by the nape of the neck and I yanked myself up. And I went, who talks like this? And she deals with herself. I'm not doing that, flesh. Have anybody ever heard that kind of thing? You can deal with yourself. I'm not doing it. You can stop sinning by the power of grace. You don't have to do it. You're kidding me. No, you don't have to do it. You got to have the hope that things can cease and you can go on. How many of you, there are certain things that used to just really torment you and they're gone. And other things are just, they're just around. Lord says, go ahead and put them to death. You'd be so glad you did. It's not patty cake with it anymore. Let it go. Are you there? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I believe you can do it. Let's look at the next verse altogether. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What are you looking at? The word beholding also means reflecting. How much time do you take reflecting on the promises of God? How much time do you take reflecting on the Lord? How much time do you take in praying in the Spirit? How much time do you take? Where are you headed? What are you looking at? What do you feed your soul with? What are you doing? Is that good? You know, when I preach like this, I always get tested. I get majorly tested. But I feel better and better all the time. I appreciate what Jesus is doing. And I want to be the one that can help snatch somebody out of the fire. I've been way in over my head for a while now. And I cry out to God more than I ever have. And He's talking to me with more than I've ever heard Him. I think it's worth the stretch. And I'm very grateful for what He's doing. And I believe you desire to rise up like you never have before. You're supposed to be who you are supposed to be in your realm of influence. You're not supposed to be me. You're supposed to be you. And you can become the much better you that He's intended you to be. Let's go ahead and look at the last one. Number three, and we'll finish with this. What are you sowing to? What are you sowing to? This is the verse here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then I think Paul just knew that you do this and you will feel weary. In the next verse says, let us not grow weary
of doing good. In due season we will reap if we do not give up. I'm going to just pause here and just say this, that first the Lord says something way before you see it. He will say something long before you see it. He will say something. Faith comes by Him saying something. He will give you a rhema. And then the battle comes. The seed is sown, and then the birds come, and then the fight comes, and then stuff comes. Is that right? How many of you have buckled down and then laid hold of it, and have with the tenacity, and laid hold of it, and then it begins to develop and grow? Anybody? How many of you took some time for you to learn that because you had things stolen from you, knocked out of your hands, and let go of your tenacity in that? You don't have to be loud. You don't have to be... You can be quiet and sturdy. You can plug on through and let it grow in you. You don't have to be rambunctious. Sometimes the more rambunctious, the less you hang on. Just quiet confidence and grow in it. Now, there was these guys in the Old Testament that sowed some good seed. And Nebuchadnezzar came and he built this great big statue. He built this big statue and he had all these, this big band and all these musical instruments. And they said, when we play these instruments, everybody bow down to this big statue of Nebuchadnezzar. And there was these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. And they didn't do it, and they were found out, and they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, and he was furious because they said, well, you might just understand this, we're not going to do it anyway. And he was furious, and so he got the furnace going. You see, they had sowed something into their spirit. They'd sowed something into their spirit. As they weren't defined by the world. They were defined by that they were the people of God. There was a different definition going on here. They'd sowed into their heart that we won't belong to this political situation here. And the government in Daniel's day was taking away religious liberty. Oh, wow. Well, but bow to this. Figure some way to bow to this. Bow to this. Give up your conscience and bow to this. And they said no. And it made them furious. And they heated up the furnace. And the people that heated up the furnace were killed because they got the thing so hot. And they went and took them and they put them in there. And then Nebuchadnezzar was ready for them just to melt. Because it's already killed the other guys. And they're walking around in there. And then he sees somebody else is in there. He says, well, didn't we put three people in there? There's another one in there. Looks like the Son of God. Looking in there. Walking around in the fire. Now here's the point. They loved not their lives to the death. They'd already won. Whether they lived or died, they'd already won. They already were victorious. But they went in. And the Lord shows up in there with them. I wonder what it was like. I wonder if it was fun. Hey, guys, ever been in anything like this? This is cool. It's like the burning bush. Yeah, it looks like a fire, doesn't it? It's not really burning up anything, is it? Yeah, we're having this. I can do that kind of stuff. I wonder if they were told jokes or stuff. Man, this is cool. Yeah. I have no idea. Hey, would you rub my back a little bit? I'm working out some kinks in this. Yeah. Who knows? Anyway, he looks and they see him and they come out. And the miracle has happened. And then they get promoted. Worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because, see, Nebuchadnezzar can't do that. And there's a change that can happen. I'll put this with what you're sowing into your life because when you sow something, it grows. What are you taking time not only becoming, what are you taking time looking at, what are you taking time sowing into your life? These are days, let me just say, these are days that people get fatigued quicker. So you've got to be strategic. You've got to take time to sow into your own soul what you need. Is the Lord helping anybody here today? Let's go ahead and set everything aside. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's worship Him just for a moment. Praise you. Just make some determinations in your heart. The Lord is, I feel like He's reminding me, I've got a liberating spirit here in the room. That the Holy Spirit is a liberator and He's come. If you look to Him, there's things that were hard on you, they'll be easier because He's liberating you from it. There are things that have been binding to you that the Lord's freeing you from right now. Receive it. Receive the help. Receive the help. Receive the help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Get a fresh view of yourself. Look at yourself. Say, I'm going to be the one that goes the distance. I'm not going to be the one that falls away. I'm going to be the one that becomes everything that God's intended me to be. I'm that guy. That's me. That's me. With the grace of God and the help of my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to make it there. We're going to go. There's gifts that Lord wants to take. He's preparing you right now. Certain ones of you, He's preparing right now to begin to give a new level of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. You're getting ready for a new level of gifting. There's some of the stuff's memorized, mesmerized some of you. So how do they do that? The Lord says, I'm going to show you how. Because you're interested. This is prophetically right now. The Lord's speaking to me. He's saying, there's some of you that have wanted more and you're not sure how to do it. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the ability. Let's praise Him for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not about you. It's about being a little servant that just he can bring things through you. He's going to get used to being much more of a flow of ministry out of your life because you made room for Him. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Man, I just want to stay here. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Let's bless Him together. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just, let me just declare this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's love on each other, church. God bless.